Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, Chris Broussard does a fine job on Fox Sports, Fox Sports 1. Joe and Evan here in New York. Chris, how are you?
Hi, Chris.
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. I'm a Knicks fan. He's a Net fan. So we're doing great, Chris. we're getting ready for that second game of the playoffs, you know?
Right, right. Well, hey, hopefully this is a good offseason for both teams, especially the Knicks. It's a big one for them.
Yeah. Iron Ahead. Who do you think is going to be the next head coach?
Who's the
coach?
Who
should be the next head coach?
I think it should be Mark Jackson. Look, if it was David Fizdale, I would not, you know, be upset about that if I'm a Knicks fan. I think both of those guys are capable. But if I think it'll should definitely be one of those two. Mm. And I would go with Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is a great coach for young players. And I'm not saying he can't coach vets, but we've seen him more with the young players. And there are people in Golden State or who are around it, you know, in the past few years, who have said, number one, Steph and Clay would not have developed the confidence and the swagger that they did if it weren't for Mark Jackson. You guys have seen him. I mean, he actually literally is a preacher, you know.
Right.
But he is a guy that preaches to you confidence and can really motivate young players and get them to believe in themselves. And secondly, he instilled that defensive mentality. And everybody talks about the three-point shooting and the great offense of Golden State. And that is clearly the case. But defensively, they're a great team, too. And even Steve Kerr will tell you that came from Mark Jackson. I think it's a travesty that he hasn't been a coach somewhere else, you know, since he was fired in Golden State. With all due respect to Tom Thibodeau, who is a tremendous coach, but I don't know if that Minnesota team is the right type of group for him. I think Mark Jackson would have been perfect for those young guys in Minnesota. So, yeah, if the Knicks go with him, I mean, you still got Porzingis, who's young. You got the Ntilikina, you know, the point guard. You got a few other young guys, and hopefully they get some more young talent in there. I think he'd be a good guy for that. And obviously the fans would love him because he's a New Yorker.
Here's what I'm curious about with Mark Jackson. It was a few years ago. I forget which Net opening, because the Nets have had so many coaching opens over the years. I really wanted Mark Jackson to coach the Nets. I don't even know if they called him. What's been going on? Why is Mark Jackson, why does it feel like Mark Jackson's been blackballed as an NBA head coach? What's going on?
Well, he has been blackballed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, think about it. You're not going to see a guy – look at his success in Golden State. Now, granted, they went to a whole nother level with Steve Kerr. There's no denying that. But they were a very good team under Mark Jackson, too, and they were very young. And a lot of people would say they were overachieving even to that point. For him not to get a job and, to your point, really not be considered for many jobs since then, you know, look, some people think it's the religion. You know, he's a very outspoken Christian. Like I said, he actually pastored a church while he was still coaching the Warriors. He's not doing that now. But so that, you know, some people think that may have rubbed some people the wrong way. You know, Mark is a very proud, strong-minded, headstrong guy. And some people think that, you know, some front office people are scared of that. Mm-hmm. You know, a coach that number one, played. Because, you know, a lot of these front office guys now didn't play, you know, and a lot of them didn't even play in high school, you know, or college, certainly not pros. And sometimes they can be, believe it or not, sometimes they can be intimidated by a ex-player, but particularly an ex-player who is very confident and headstrong. And so that could be it, you know, but there are people that will tell you that some people in the Golden State organization have said some bad things about him. And that has kind of, you know, gotten some teams to not give him a shot. But, look, he's a great coach. He deserves a chance. And it'd be nice to see if he gets it in New York.
He's the one guy that really would move the needle for me because Van Gundy's not happening. So he would move the needle for me, Mark Jackson. But what about Stackhouse? Because I'm hearing a lot about Jerry Stackhouse. What about him?
Yeah, Jerry. Look, Jerry's an unknown. I mean, you just don't know. It happens with a lot of assistants. He could end up being great, or he could end up struggling. You know, whenever you have an assistant coach, and his resume is great. We know he was a very good player. He was a tough player. You know, you would think he's going to bring, you know, a little hard-nosed edge to the team. He's done his due diligence as an assistant. So I think all the boxes are checked off, but you just don't know. I mean, who would have – let's be honest. I think everybody would have looked at Derek Fisher's resume and said he's going to be great.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, now, granted, I'm not saying he had all the talent in the world either, and that's a whole nother thing. They got to get some players for whoever the coach is. But you just don't. I remember Mark Ivoroni years ago. I mean, he was the hot young assistant that was going to be great wherever he went, and he was a disaster. You know, David Fizdale's an assistant, does a great job, you know, as a head coach in Memphis. So you don't know. I think Stack, I mean, like I said, he checks all the boxes. I'd assume he'd do a good job, but with assistants, you know, it's hit or miss. You don't know.
Talking to Chris Broussard, take us to Fantasyland. Which one of us, I the Net fan, Joe the Knick fan, has a better chance of buying a Kawhi Leonard jersey in 2 years because he's on our team?
Wow. I'm going to be honest with you, and I hate to break the news,
but
I say the Knicks. And here's why. Because remember, now you might look at the Nets and say Sean Marks.
Yeah.
Out of San Antonio.
Right.
Tree. You know, and you'd be right on that end. But here's the problem. Kawhi Leonard, if he gets traded, he's going to be able to control the situation because he's only got 1 year left on his deal. Now, if the Spurs offer him the Supermax this year, 5 years, $219 million, and he signs it, and then they end up trading him at some point, then the Nets could be in the mix. And to your point, you know, connections, you know, familiarity, the Nets would have that in their favor with the San Antonio organization. But if he is going into his last year and could be a free agent next summer, not this summer, next summer, then he's going to be able to control it because whoever trades for him is going to want to know, okay, will you sign with us long term? And if he says no, then they're not going to trade for him and give up assets. So I would think he would be more open to staying in New York, or I'm sorry, with the Knicks because of the history than he would be of going to the Nets.
Mm. What's the issue with Leonard? Why is he not playing? Is he got an issue with Popovich? What's going on with that, Chris?
This is the deal, and it's an interesting situation. Kawhi Leonard has been up front with the Spurs. Now, in January, when he came back and played, and then he had to stop after 9 games, he felt like, you know, he told them, I want to go get a second opinion, and the Spurs were on board with it. Okay, go do that. He does it. The doctors don't clear him to play in New York. And he is sharing all of this with the Spurs. Now, when the Spurs recently looked at his charts, his medical chart, they suggested, why don't you stay in New York and continue rehabbing rather than be with the team? Everybody's ripping him for not being with the team right now in the playoffs. And the Spurs were on board with that. They actually have 2 trainers in New York with Kawhi. And so you wouldn't get that if you just look at what some players and some, you know, Popovich, his comments, his little veil, you know, shots at Kawhi. And Pop, look, he's used to coaching Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Ginobili and Parker, guys that completely buy into what he's selling. And he has always been able to kind of coach hard, you know, rip players, take shots at players, and they come back and he's able to clean it up. Kawhi Leonard, though, might be different. He's not Tim Duncan. He's a different personality. I know he's quiet and everybody thinks he's just like Duncan and all the rest of the Spurs, but he is different. And Popovich has got to be careful because he could be a lot more transparent. You know, instead of saying, you know, you got to ask Kawhi's group when they ask him about his health, when reporters ask him, why don't you say his medical team? Why don't you give them that respect? You know, why don't you share that, oh, we understand Kawhi's in New York. We're on board with that. We got people up there working with him. Be more transparent, but there's some arrogance there. And look, Popovich, in my book, is the third greatest coach of all time behind Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach. Tremendous.
It's fair,
but he
yeah.
does get arrogant, right?
Oh.
I mean, he's arrogant with the media.
Of course.
That's an understatement.
Of course.
And he can be arrogant with his players. And that's not going to work with everybody. The Bill Belichick, what appears to be going on up there, there seems to be some of that happening here with the Spurs, too. And so you got to be careful. I'm not saying it's totally over there with Kawhi, but Popovich doesn't need to be taking veiled shots. At Kawhi Leonard.
Isn't it kind of foolish because we're seeing what the Spurs are without Kawhi Leonard? And sure, they made the playoffs, but they have no chance in this series against Golden State, even with them missing Steph Curry. And LaMarcus Aldridge has been great. He's only getting older. So if you're Greg Popovich, wouldn't you want to try to make nice with Kawhi Leonard so that you have this guy for the future?
Yeah, I think there's two things at work. Number one, Popovich has always been able to do that and clean it up. You know, even if he'll upset some guys or take shots at guys or coach them hard, he's always been able to put his arm around them. Hey, man, I was just doing that to get you going or get the team going. You know, things like that, right? But that's not going to work with every player. There have been players in San Antonio who did not buy into the Popovich way. Not superstars, but some players who just couldn't last there and didn't go along with that. And I'm not saying it's not going to work out with Kawhi Leonard. I'm just saying he needs to be careful because everybody's not going to buy into that. So I think there's that. And then secondly, remember, Popovich has always said, you know, when Tim Duncan's done, I'm done. Now, obviously, he's coaching without Tim Duncan. But it does make you wonder how much longer is he for this? I know he told LaMarcus Aldridge he'd coach him. But, you know, as you said, Aldridge is getting older. So you wonder, I'm not saying he's thinking about retirement at all. I'm just saying that could be in play, you know, just because he's older and he's always talked about, you know, at some point he's going to step away, obviously. So, but I just think you're right. Without Kawhi Leonard, they would not be the same type of Spurs. Now, there are those that believe that they will offer Kawhi the Supermax this summer, and then that makes it easier for them to trade him. Because then whoever would trade for him, you got him locked up for the next 5 years, right?
Right.
And
right.
So then you could send him anywhere, and his value would be higher. And so, you know, there's a lot of ways the Spurs could go. I'm not saying they'd sign him just to trade him. They could sign him thinking we'll be able to keep him, and if it doesn't work out, then they could trade him. So it's really going to come to a head, though, this summer, because if they don't offer him the Supermax, then now you know they are really upset with the way things were handled. If they do offer it to him and he rejects it, they know he doesn't want to be there long term because he can't get that money anywhere else on the free agent market. So then they'd trade him. And or if, you know, if they offer it to him and he accepts it, then everything's water under the bridge.
Talking to Chris Bassard, talking basketball with him. All right, are the LeBrons in trouble after getting beat pretty bad by Indiana in game one?
I don't know if you want to call it blind faith in LeBron James because he's been so good in the East, and the East is just a mediocre conference. But I still think the Cavaliers not only win this series, but win the East. Obviously Wednesday night will tell the tale. If they lose that, then they really could be in trouble. But I expect the Cavs, LeBron, to come out and be on fire early, set the tone, be a lot more aggressive. And they've got pieces while they're young, while a lot of them are inexperienced. They've got athletic guys. They've got shooters. They've got youth. They should be – that's a good enough supporting cast for LeBron James to get through a bad Eastern Conference. So I'm not ready to panic yet with them. But if they were to lose on Wednesday, now you got maybe another story.
How about the aspect, even if they get past Indiana, and I think they will. I think they'll manage to win this series. This is a guy who played all 82 games this year, first time he'd ever done that. He's played more minutes this year than he's played in, I think, 6 years. He has to exert so much energy, more so than ever, to get out of this round, because usually the first round's been a bye week, basically, for LeBron. How about the toll that this is going to take on LeBron and how much that could affect him in a series against Toronto or potentially a conference finals?
Well, if look, at some point you would expect age to kick in, but sometimes I think the narrative about LeBron and his minutes gets overblown. I'm with you. Leading the league in minutes, which he did this year in his 15th season, is incredible. But he played less than 37 minutes a game. Remember, Kobe Bryant in his 15th year, 16th, and even 17th year played a ton of minutes and averaged 27 points. You know, Michael Jordan, when he was 40, remember when he was with Washington, his last year, 15th year, he played all 82. And he played around 37 minutes a game, I believe. So Karl Malone's another one. Like, this isn't unprecedented, you know, and I think today with all the talk about rest, and, I mean, you know this, Joe, going way back, like, 37 minutes a game didn't used to be a lot.
No, absolutely
not. You
know,
you got a guy play 40, 41, right, you know, right. 39.
Right.
So I think sometimes we overblow it. But if it does become a factor for LeBron, then he really only has himself to blame because he didn't have to play all 82. He didn't have to play 37 minutes a night. You know, we know how much control he has in Cleveland. If he really felt like, man, just play me 33 minutes, 34 minutes, he could easily do that. But he doesn't want to. And so if it comes back to bite him, then he really only has to look in the mirror.
Toronto, to me, has more pressure on them than anybody. I mean, certainly in the East. They had to win that game one the other day. They had some trouble with Washington. They wound up winning it. I mean, if they're ever going to do it, it's got to be now, right, Chris? They got to get to the finals, right?
Yeah, I just don't think they're that type of squad, Joe. I mean, I don't think they're good enough. Now, again, the East is pretty bad, and it is wide open if Cleveland's vulnerable because Philadelphia is young. Boston, obviously, is banged up. And then you got, you know, everybody below them is not really ready to win. So it's a wide-open conference, which is one reason I think Cleveland wins it. But, you know, historically, we know there have only been two teams since 1979 to win a championship without somebody you'd consider like a top 50 player. That was Seattle in 79.
And the Pistons in 04.
Exactly, exactly. So – and that pretty much goes for teams just getting to the finals.
Right, right.
You know, not even winning it, but just getting there.
Right, right.
And as much as I like DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they're legitimate all-stars. But neither of them is a superstar. And to be honest, you kind of saw it in game one. They did not step up and play well. You know, DeRozan gets 17. Lowry gets 11 and has 5 or 6 turnovers. Serge Ibaka and DeLon Wright saved them. Or they'd be down 0-1. So, honestly, I expect Philly, if they survive Miami, to beat Toronto in the second round.
They'd play Boston in the second round if they win, right?
I certainly expect Cleveland to beat Toronto in the second round.
Right. I would take that as a conference finals. Give me Philly-Toronto. I like that. That'd be fun to watch.
That would be interesting.
Let me ask you about
that. Well, that's the thing. Do people really want to see
LeBron? Yes.
Do you want to see LeBron go out?
Yes.
Early?
I do.
Here's what I want, Chris. I want whatever is worse for the NBA and television. That's it.
You want Toronto and Utah.
Right, there you go.
But
right,
Chris,
right.
I agree with Joe, but for completely different reasons. And hear me out on this. I love the NBA. You love the NBA. And we're going to watch the NBA Finals no matter what. But I think there's a lot of casual basketball fans who rip the NBA because they think it's too predictable.
Right.
They think the regular season is a waste of time. And I think if we get a fourth consecutive Golden State Cleveland NBA Final, you're probably right. The ratings would be higher for that than anything else. But that feeds into the narrative that why bother? It's so predictable. And I think if we could get Toronto and the Pelicans NBA Finals, that's actually
Toronto
good for
Pelicans.
Basketball.
Tremendous.
Even if the ratings are bad, it's good for basketball.
Well, do you have to go to that extreme?
Yes.
How about like OKC and Philly
fine.
Or something?
Okay, yeah. Fine. Right.
I'll say this. If the only other team that I think would be quote-unquote box office in the East in the finals other than Cleveland would be Philadelphia.
I agree.
And if it doesn't happen this year, look, they're coming.
They are.
They're coming. Like, I'm ready to say right now, I've said it before, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, if they stay healthy, of course, will be all-time greats.
Mm.
All-time greats. Like, I think Ben Simmons is the closest thing I've ever seen to Magic Johnson. That includes Penny Hardaway and LeBron James. Like, he is a replica without – he's not quite as fancy as Magic with the passing. But he is a modern-day Magic Johnson. And I think Joel Embiid is the best big man in the league. As far as playing on the block. Like, you might take Anthony Davis, but as far as inside presence, I love Embiid. Mm. So I think that's good for the league because they're going to be coming. I think they could get to the finals next year. And I think these playoffs, I have to admit, because you're right, everybody thinks it's Golden State Cleveland. But the playoffs are going to be better than we expected when the season started. Like, I thought both of these teams would just cruise to the finals. I think Cleveland will have some trouble, and I think Golden State will have trouble because Houston is legit, and I think OKC will give Houston some problems in the second round.
And they should have lost game one. The Timberwolves should have won game one, which would have certainly changed the complexion of that series in a big way.
Well, Chris Paul,
you know, the questions people had about Houston going into these playoffs were, will James Harden show up in the clutch game of the playoffs? Will Chris Paul do the same? And Mike D'Antoni's coaching in the postseason. He's never been to the finals. Harden, obviously, was great in game one. Chris Paul, though, six turnovers. You
terrible.
Saw that late pass that he threw out of bounds that gave Minnesota a chance to win. I mean, if Chris Paul cannot be himself in critical moments of the playoffs, then I think Oklahoma City could beat them in the second round.
Hmm. Good
but
stuff.
I agree with you about Philadelphia coming. I mean, I think that you're telling me next year they're in the NBA Finals, I wouldn't be surprised. My concern about them this year is, first of all, when is Joel Embiid going to play? And number two, when he does play, that's his first NBA playoff experience. I almost fall in the line of you need to be humbled first, you need to lose first before you're ready to win. But how about the Embiid question? Are we going to see him in game three?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, we saw his, you know, Instagram post where he wants to be out there. I think he'll be in game three or four. Look, it's a facial injury. So you can put a mask on that and go out and play. I mean, guys have done it before. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in game three. If you put a gun to my head, I would say we do see him in game three. Now, you're right as far as him getting to the finals. It would almost be unprecedented. We've seen young groups. We've seen Penny Hardaway and Shaq get to the finals. But they weren't rookies. So it's very unusual to see guys in their first playoff experience go that far. But, you know, again, we're talking about a conference where everybody is either young, injured, or doesn't have great talent. And I include Toronto in that group. They don't have championship-level talent. And so I give Philly a shot, but I think if I had to bet, I'd say Cleveland.
So you think Cleveland, Golden State again. Is that right?
Well, if Golden State's healthy. You know, if they're not healthy, I don't think they win it without Steph Curry. And that if he comes back, let's see how he comes back. I think even when he comes back, you'd have to be blind to not think it's a possibility that he goes out again, whether it's ankles, the knee. Like, he has been very fragile this year. He's been fragile throughout his career except for that, three-year window maybe where he was just healthy the whole, you know, total time. So I think they're vulnerable. I would probably pick them, certainly if they're healthy. But, again, I give Houston a shot, and OKC is a dark horse. I would say out west.
Chris,
great stuff.
Yeah.
Terrific, Chris. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Anytime.
We'll see you.
Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1, working on the studio shows that they have, Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and The Herd with Colin Cowherd, and Speak for Yourself. FS1, Chris Broussard, NBA analyst.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.